Let's talk rock. What's real? What's bad? What's real bad?
All right, good morning. This is V-Dubs.
And this is Mike.
And this is Real Rock.
And Real Talk.
All right, we're talking about Bon Scott and Brian Johnson. I'm not going to put versus Brian Johnson. I was thinking about that.
Kind of like our Sammy versus Dave.
Well, no, that was versus. It's two opponents.
Well, for some people, though, you know, who love AC/DC, still some don't like one and don't like the other.
Yeah. But Brian stupid. Johnson stepped in for Bon Scott versus Correct. One got fired, one came in, and Correct. Still to this day, the egos. Correct. I think that Bon Scott and Brian Johnson would have hung out and partied together.
Yeah, I believe that, too.
I think they would have.
Absolutely.
And the other guys, I don't think they would. I mean, they tried, but I don't think.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, that's a whole other show.
Yeah. So, what's your take on it, man?
Well, I am too young to know. I mean, AC/DC came out when we were really young.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea how far back they went because I wasn't introduced to AC/DC until the early 80s. And my brother had the tape of, good Lord, what's that song? It's on the tape. But the one about going to kill some, they're going to kill somebody. He's a hitman. I'm an idiot. Anyways, it'll come to me. But so he had this tape, and I loved it. I thought it was so cool because at the very on the B side of the tape, I believe the last song is called Big Balls. Mm-hmm. And I, as a kid, you know, it's like anytime somebody said wiener, we'd giggle, or the ketchup bottle would fart.
Yeah,
we didn't have ketchup bottles back then. No, anyways, so that was a very funny song to me because they were talking about balls. Which weren't actually balls, they were actually dancing balls. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was very funny. So so I liked him because my brother liked him.
Right.
Kind of like I liked Nazareth because he liked Nazareth. He liked April Wine. Anyways, so I remember listening to that tape and liking it. And when I was in the 7th or 8th grade, the first record I ever bought, full-size 33, was Highway to Hell. And I thought that was the coolest album cover. And I remember I brought it home from my dad's that weekend, and my mom was a little pissed. She was not disappointed in me because of this album, Highway to Hell. And my mom wasn't religious. We weren't a religious family. We didn't go to church, but I just think...
Kind of in your face name.
Everybody instinctively believes that hell's a bad thing, and only bad people go there.
Right.
So, but man, I listened to that record. I listened to that record and listened to it, and I loved it. And because it was AC/DC, and it was hard back because back then they were always listening to Queen and Funky Town and all this goofy stuff. So no, I liked it. And and honestly, I was so young when Bon Scott died that I don't really remember it affecting me.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have internet back then. I just kind of heard about it. And we didn't have MTV, so I didn't think I heard about it. So.
And that album was the album that was the last one they released. It was the year before he passed.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So the next tape I ever bought was a tape, was For Those About to Rock, which was after Back in Black, but that's the next one I bought. But I was young when they were really hitting it. So I wasn't I wasn't gonna say I was a huge fan, but I became more of a fan later in life.
Yeah.
And then learning about how Bon Scott died. And then how they found Brian Johnson and how AC/DC Back to Black was a tribute to Bon Scott. And I like Bon Scott's voice, but I like Brian Johnson's better.
Yeah.
And so the album was Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap was that first tape I heard. Mm-hmm. And I heard a live version on one of my playlists of Brian Johnson singing that live. I think I sent that to you.
Yeah.
He just sounds creepy, and he nails it. Yeah. I think he nails it.
Absolutely.
And
it's his voice, man. It is. Yeah. It's creepy.
So, yeah, AC/DC to me has always been, you know, I don't have any dislike or love. I do like Brian Johnson better. But I don't think AC/DC would have got to AC/DC with Brian Johnson without Bon Scott.
Not a chance.
So, you know, and then learning later in life that these guys were all Australian. You know, I had no idea. And I didn't even know. I thought they were American. I didn't know because we never got to hear him talk. All we heard was him sing. So
yeah, I don't remember interviews back then of them with AC/DC.
No, but I
even on MTV.
But you can find them on YouTube, and like when they were young.
Yeah.
Like 18, 19 years old, young in Australia. They're just a bunch of mellow, humble, especially Angus Young, just mellow, humble guys.
Still the same way.
And that guy is, you know, Angus Young is so talented. I just looked, he's 71 years old.
And he plays it like he's playing a piano for an orchestra.
It's just Brian Johnson, 76 years old.
Yeah.
And they're going out on tour. And I saw a video of him just recently of Angus Young. And God bless him, but it just didn't look, it just wasn't a good look. He looked really old.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Man, they lived a hard life.
Yeah, but then again, those guys weren't big partiers. You know, I know at least Angus wasn't. He wasn't a big drinker or a big. He even talked about it earlier. I'm just not a big drinker.
I think it's just being on the road. Just that lifestyle, sure. Man.
Oh, and he's a smoker. He's a smoker.
Yeah, big time.
Big time smoker. So, you know, then his brother Angus dying. You know, that was probably from the lifestyle too a little bit, and he looked old when he died.
Yeah.
So AC/DC, Brian Johnson, Malcolm. I mean, I'm sorry, Brian Johnson or Bon Scott. I'm a right in the middle, but if I had to choose, it'd be Brian Johnson for me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What do you got there, Mr. Got a bunch of stuff written down?
I just think it's really crazy to that 1973, I was 2 years old, that's when they were an official band. I was two.
And tell them what you learned that I didn't know about.
There was a singer before Bon Scott.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, it didn't have a lot of information about him. It just said that Bon Scott was second singer and Brian Johnson was third. So I'm going to do a little bit more research and find who and what and where and how and what all that was about. Probably just a fill-in person.
Probably kind of like how Queen had an original lead singer, but they weren't Queen then. They were something else.
Yeah.
But
So, but I'm the same way. I mean, there's not an AC/DC song that comes on the radio that I don't turn the channel. I'm going to listen to it because I just love AC/DC. In high school, going into junior high was Back in Black, and then going on in for those about to rock, Flip the Switch. Then I didn't know that they did a double album in 1985, Blow Up Your Video and Fly on the Wall. I mean, dude, these guys were busy, man. These guys were pumping stuff out. Now, granted, there is a lot of old song. They put one or two songs of old onto them just to keep that flavor in there.
Sure.
But I've also always appreciated that there's Bon Scott songs would throw into their albums as tribute to keep him in the mix.
Very cool.
All through the years, they did that. But I'll tell you what, in 1990, when The Razor's Edge came out, there was a song that hit, and I remember them announcing it on the radio. It was coming out. They got this song, Thunderstruck. Gonna have to listen to it. And the first time that song got played, that was it.
Yeah.
If I was going in the electric chair and they said, what song do you want played when you go out? That's the song I want. When I go to the gym in the morning, that's the song I start with every day. Mm-hmm. That intro that Angus does just blows my mind. And I've watched so many videos of guys showing how to do it. And they have to put on like a double delay on the foot switch to get it to do the picking that he's doing on one. But that song is always, and I mean, God, I've been listening to that song since 1990, and I still love it now as much as I did then.
That's funny, because I just, you know, it's 1990. You think about it, though, they had a lot of hits in the 70s, maybe early 80s. But between the 80s, I don't remember much of them in the 80s. If I went back and looked, I could probably go, oh, that was AC/DC.
Yeah.
One or two. And then 1990, they hit with Thunderstruck.
That whole album was just
Again, they're another one of those bands that's, like, we don't have a rock station here. You know, we have KBOI. Right. Do we still have KBOI?
Yeah.
But it's like there's no mainstream for rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like AC/DC can put out six albums that I haven't even heard of.
Right.
Because I was in a time when, I guess I wasn't such a huge AC/DC fan.
Yeah.
So that I would buy every album that they did. Kind of like with Van Halen. When Van Halen came out, I bought it.
Right.
And some of them were letdowns.
Yeah.
Gary Cherone era. But yeah, AC/DC has just been pumping them out. And Angus Young, he's like an Eddie Van Halen. Think of all of the intros he has come up with
iconic,
over the years.
Absolutely iconic.
I mean, just...
And you know, within three strikes of a string, mm-hmm. Angus, that's AC/DC right there.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Metallica song. You know when it's Hatfield, and these certain guys that know how to do that. Yeah. And I love that sound. They find the sound, and they stick to it. He's never changed that dirty sound that he's got on his distortion. It's the same.
Kind of like an Alex Van Halen snare drum.
Yes.
It's always the same. I watched a YouTube video on a guy that showed how to do that.
Oh, really?
And it's a certain drum, certain Ludwig. It's a certain head. It's a certain
bottom
head. Well,
it's a definite sound. I mean,
and and there's also, in the studio, there's also different mixes they use on the drum to get that sound. Mm. Yeah, but he got it. It was pretty cool. I remember watching some kind of documentary on AC/DC, and you know, Bon Scott was, you don't really know a lot about him. I know he was a good dude. The bands, they were brothers. He had a drinking problem, obviously. Liked to drink.
They called him the old man. Yeah. He was 10 years older than them.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, to be as popular as he was, you know, if you remember in earlier years, he had really crappy teeth.
Oh, dude, it was Snaggle.
And I remember they were talking to the band about how he was so happy. He got his confidence, got his teeth fixed.
Oh, he had missing teeth all along. Oh, yeah. It was bad.
And but he was, before he died, I was talking about how things were rolling for them and for him. And then to die in a car outside a house in the cold.
Yeah.
I mean, what a way to go. I mean, it's just, could happen to either one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, but just, you know, so it's just an end. What a shitty end to a career that never, it got going, but it was still more to go.
Just starting.
Still more to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty impressive because back then, by the time you're 30 years old, I think back in the 70s, how many bands did you see on MTV and anywhere else where they were 30 years old or older? Not a lot. They were all young. They're in their early 20s.
Yeah.
This dude's up there at 29 years old, just giving everything he's got like he's 19.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging with 19-year-olds and doing it.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I think he was one of those people, you know, he was probably a Arrested Development type, you know, who was just hadn't really grown up.
Yeah. And that's all he wanted to do.
But smart.
He just wanted to sing.
Yeah, he was smart.
Wrote great songs.
They wrote great lyrics together. I mean, yeah, just a sad thing. And, you know, and then back to Brian Johnson, who, you know, there what was it like? What was it 5 years ago? I can't remember with our age. When he had the vocal problems.
Yeah.
They moved him out. He went out and they brought in Axl Rose.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
That was just a sad time. That's kind of like COVID. Let's not talk about it.
That's just wrong.
That's the COVID of rock and roll right there.
Brian's back. So it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I probably won't get to see him live because I don't think they're going to be anywhere near us.
Yeah.
But I always look forward. You can always find a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Of something recent, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Absolutely. But I love watching Angus still just up there when you see him like walking and hanging out just on the normal.
Yeah.
He's just a real slow mellow guy, but you get him behind a guitar on stage, he's an animal.
It's a flip of a switch.
Oh, I just love it. Now I didn't know. That where did I write that down in here? Let There Be Rock. There was a movie released in 1997 in Paris, a documentary on them. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't either. So I need to look that up and find it. And then there was an album, 74 Jailbreak.
Mm-hmm.
It was done in 1984. Those five songs there's five songs on that album that were released in 1974, only in Australia, not here. So that's another one I want to go look up. I didn't know that information. That album that's called 74 Jailbreak was actually five songs that they covered, that they did. There it is.
If you ever want to check it out, it is on YouTube. It's an hour and a half long.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that.
Check that out, yeah.
I've never known that. Never heard anything about it.
Well, you know, when I talked to, I've talked to, you know, Cricket's, you know, brother in Australia. I mean, yeah, he's a huge AC/DC fan. And, we got to find a way to get people on the phone and do a podcast with them on the phone.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm sure there's an easy way to, it's probably not a big deal, but we got to figure it out because we talked about who his band's growing up famous ones were, and
right,
and I never heard of them. They never made it across the pond.
It's like we got local bands here that people never heard of, you know, and there's good ones.
Yeah, but I mean like radio bands,
right,
that never made it.
Yeah, over just to like America, just like that. I didn't know that there were songs there that were released but not released here.
Yeah,
why is that?
Makes you want.
What else is there not that we don't know about?
Yeah,
is the Earth really flat? What is happening?
Oh no, it's round. It's round. It's round.
Anyway,
just saw a thing where the guy that took the famous picture from the Apollo 8 out the window of the Earth.
Yeah.
From the moon or whatever, but it was kind of a shadow thing, but it looked really cool. And he just died in a plane crash. He was flying with them old military style, you know, old planes, you know, and crashed and died. I don't know how old he was, but. But for the flat earthers, it's a picture.
Well, has anybody ever been to the edge where the water's falling off?
No.
I've never seen those pictures. Somewhere the water's got to fall off, right?
It's got to go somewhere.
Maybe there's a. Maybe it's like a pool. Maybe there's a lip.
I heard there's a wall.
Is there a wall?
I heard there's a wall.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. So.
Someone please find that wall.
Yes. Run into it. Like kind of like Truman, the Truman Show.
He did.
Yeah.
Boy, we got off track on that.
Yeah, we did. It's okay.
So I think we both agree, Brian Johnson, but none of this would have happened without Bon Scott.
Without Bon Scott, yep. And
I just really like Brian's voice, man. I just do. I think it's great. Always have.
Bon had, I mean, nobody and since him has sounded like him.
No.
So he had that voice, and... It almost had a sinister feel to it.
Yeah, just a really high pitch that he could get to.
Yeah.
But it never broke. It was always clean.
Yeah.
He never cracked it because he was pushing it so hard. He just had a great voice box for pushing air.
I was watching that one video of Long Way to the Top, and it's got the bagpipes
in it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And it's got him playing them. He doesn't play them.
No. No, you can watch and see.
He did it good, though. He looked like he did until you really found out he didn't.
When you see the fingers going like this and there's nothing coming out the time.
Yes, he doesn't. But who would ever think you'd put bagpipes in a rock and roll song?
But you know it worked. It's perfect. It did.
It was the best.
And I find myself, when the song's playing, waiting for it.
Yeah.
Because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and I like, you know, I remember hearing about, of course, I never got to see him live, but when they were doing the, you know, For Those About to Rock tour, they had actual cannons firing off during the concert when that song was played.
Oh, cool.
And we salute you.
Yeah.
Boom, fire, boom. And those fire, they had real cannons. Not real cannonballs, but
right.
Real cannons. So that would have been something to see back in the day. Of course, there's no, you know, there's no video of that because there were no cell phones back there.
Yeah. People actually went to the concert and watched the concert.
I was watching some last night. I don't remember who I was watching, but it was some concert. And you're watching all the people out there in the audience. And they're just—they got their hands up and they're clapping. Not one camera.
Few batter or lighters in the air.
Yeah, but it was just people out there just ready to hear music. They look at a concert from behind. You just see a bunch of cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I remember. You know, when my kids were growing up and I was videotaping everything. And at one point, I started thinking, how much am I missing with my face in this camcorder?
Yeah.
You know. And there's people that, I think, I hit a point where I finally decided, like, I really kind of stopped recording Veda so much. Because I want to enjoy her.
Moment.
But she'll do something where I go, I got to video this. Yeah. This is cool. But, because I think we get out of the moment. And then we get out of that moment. What are we doing with those videos?
Yeah. We went to a concert at Brick a couple years back, and I videoed a couple parts.
Yeah.
I can honestly tell, I came across your desk cleaning out my phone.
Yeah.
I've never watched it since. And it just took up space.
Yeah.
So when we went and seen Daughtry, I actually just put my phone in my back pocket and I watched the show. Mm-hmm. I got to watch the lead guitarist doing stuff. I got to see the drummer doing stuff. I saw stuff and I was like, man, I missed a lot of stuff last time.
Yeah.
because I was trying to video. Why? I'm here.
Right. And you ever going to watch it again?
No.
It's funny you said that. I didn't delete it, but I deleted a few when I went to see the Beach Boys.
Yeah. You were there. You remember?
Yeah. Vividly.
If you want to see it again, you know what? YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone else was there, and they put it on.
Or just shut your eyes and remember it.
I mean, but I got to enjoy that concert so much more, not having that freaking phone in my hand.
Yeah.
Just enjoying the moment, and me and Joe were, you know, chatting back and forth and singing along with them. And
but every once in a while, for a second, you thought about it.
Actually, I didn't, because the guy that was sitting right in front of me had his phone up the whole time, and I had to keep moving my head around him because his phone was in my view. So
you didn't
bitch, I was like,
surprised you didn't bitch slap him in the back of the head.
When your wife is announcing the band, kind of a bad representation there.
Yeah, no bueno.
So.
Yeah, so AC/DC, Bon Scott. So we are not going versus.
No,
we both believe that these guys were the lead singers of AC/DC. They were the
and they are rock legends. Always will be.
And you know, I they don't really show much of it in interviews, but you know that when Bon Scott died, that killed those guys. That was
weird.
And the fact they kept going. Because, you know,
that had to have been a tough decision.
Well, I think you always hear this. Well, Bond would want us to keep going.
Yeah.
He actually would.
Oh, absolutely.
There's most people like him or like that would be like, you pussies, you're gonna stop?
Right. You're right there at the door.
You got a whole notebook full of songs we wrote. Yes. You still got to get out there, you know.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think they had to take their. I've never looked to see how much time they took, you know, off.
They didn't. 1980, he died. 1980, Brian Johnson jumped in.
I mean, did they take, you know...
Well, 1979, there was an album.
Yeah.
And then there wasn't until Brian Johnson. So right. There was a year.
Yeah.
And in that year, he passed, and they came out with an album
right. Can you imagine being in the band and... Mind you, there's no internet. There's no cell phones.
Yeah.
And you're in the band, and you just found out somehow Bond's dead.
Yeah.
And you're that you're in this successful band. Your lead singer just died.
Yeah.
You know, just the things that go through your head, and then you're getting on the telly to call the other guys. Is this true? And, you know, just the whole...
And, you know, now with how people are about things, and they got to go see a therapist, and they got to process, and they've got to do all these things. Well, what this tells me, just by doing the research I did, they did the Back in Black album in 1980, within the same year of him passing.
Yeah.
Their therapy was find a singer,
yep.
Let's get in there, and let's put the songs that we all have been working on, and let's do it.
Yeah.
How much more of a thank you could a person do than that?
Yeah.
They just got right in there and started working.
And I was trying to, I want to watch this documentary because I don't remember how many people they auditioned. But if I remember right, Brian Johnson got the job pretty quick. They knew of him. He was singing in another band.
Oh, okay.
If I remember right.
I don't know all the details on that.
But he, you know, was just a local band, I think.
Yeah.
But, so they knew of him.
When you got a voice like that, can you imagine when you're all of a sudden needing and you hear that voice?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. That's the dude. Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's had the same voice ever since.
And I was trying to understand what the song Back in Black's about. But maybe I'll dive into that one day.
That might be something interesting.
Because it's weird. I mean, the lyrics are... I never really dug into what it's about. But that's kind of like the song of that album.
Yeah.
Other than You Shook Me All Night Long. Oh, my God.
It's a good song.
That whole album's good.
Yeah.
Whole album's good. But I have found myself going back and listening to, you know, we used to buy records for the two or three songs, usually two,
right?
Or that were
never
on
the
record.
B side.
But you still listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself going back now and listening to whole. Like I remember, I got into the Eagles like in 1988, and I remember I used to listen to the album The Long Run all the way through. And I remember liking it. And I'm going, why did I stop listening? So I remember I was at work one day, and I listened to the whole album. And yeah, it was good stuff. It's just good stuff. Good bands put out good music, even if they're not the hits.
Yeah. Well, it's like with Prince. I could listen to Purple Rain album at any time.
Oh, every day, on my way to school.
Every song on there is amazing. I just love it. All right. Well, that was good.
Well, we beat
I that. Really enjoyed that because I it got me back into listening. When I was at the gym, I was listening to a lot of old stuff from ACDs, yeah. and I was like, man, in high school, certain song pop, and I can, I'm right back wherever that moment was when I heard that song.
You know, and Phil Rudd has always been, even though he's got his problems, he's always been one of my favorite drummers.
Yeah.
Because he's just solid. He's just,
hits
solid.
Those drums so hard.
Then there's the other guy that, I can't remember his name, I've just had it, but the bald guy, he plays with him a lot.
Yes.
He's one of those guys that's one of those, he plays for a lot of groups, almost like a Kenny Aronoff type guy. But, I mean, he plays them a lot too, and Phil Rudd's out doing his mental thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like anthem. It's like an anthem style. I mean, when they hit,
yeah.
It's just, it's so hard and it yeah. just drives that song. I mean, absolutely. No wonder Angus is always fired up, man. He's got those guys behind him yeah. just killing those drums.
Yeah.
Get goosebumps. I love. I just want they are such a beautiful mix orchestrated into a song. It's just unbelievable.
And again, you and I have talked about this before. It's like, yeah, well, you and I have listened to some new guys, new bands, you know, Ace Monroe and all these other guys, and they just, no one's ever going to do that again.
No, I don't
and that
think
makes
so.
Me sad.
Yeah, and I've been trying. I got a guy that one of my vendors at work that I call. He was in a band up until COVID, and then he had to start getting, you know, surviving for his family,
sure,
or providing for his family. So now he's doing that, but. He's played with some of the bands that we listen to, mm-hmm. and he's a guitar player. He's hit me onto a couple different bands, and we've talked about this with me and him about it's like we're on a quest to find the band mm-hmm. that's going to fill the shoes of what the old ones did that impacted you, that you follow to the end.
Right.
AC/DC has been in my life for over 40 years.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know about them until I was about 6-7 years old when I started hearing certain songs, and I knew I liked that song on the radio.
Right.
But there's not a lot of bands that I've stuck to.
But
that
there
long.
Were bands in the 80s, I mean, that, you know, you take bands like Metallica and, you know, they bands like that, you know, they had their thing that they'll always be remembered.
Well, and I still love Metallica. I'm going to see them in August.
But like AC/DC, not quite. But they're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's certain Metallica songs that Sandman. I mean, there's songs I'm just like, they're, again, who's going to do a Sandman song?
Yeah.
But when are those songs going to happen again?
But even like, to me, the closest thing to rock that's made me feel good about rock, and I'm going to catch shit for this, is Nickelback. Talk about hard driving, fat drums, good vocals.
Well, and I think Disturbed's right there with that.
Yeah,
and I love the fact that the lead singer, when he sees parents out there with little kids, he'll stop the whole show, have that kid come up, introduce him, hold him up, and he's like, "This is the next generation of rock. This is what it's about."
Yeah,
that I love.
Yeah,
even if the music was shady, not shady, you know, just moderately okay, someone doing that I will listen to you.
Yeah,
but I think their music's amazing. And I love his vocals. He's another one. His vocals.
I've never really listened to Disturbed.
Oh,
for me, you like the harder, fast rock.
Yeah, but they've got everywhere from from anthems or ballads to the hardest. They've got a full spectrum in there.
Yeah,
it's not all just screaming and yelling.
Maybe I'll check it out because he does a lot of that screaming stuff. One thing I was going to note before we go is. I always found humorous was that AC/DC and their catalog of music. Can you name one ballad they did? I don't think there was one.
She's Got Balls?
Nope. Like, I mean, unless there was one, you know, one of those albums, you know, that we don't know, obscure albums in the 80s or something, but I don't know if they ever did a ballad.
I can't think of a single, like, no.
Yeah, so that's just one of those little things I remember thinking about, how they never did a ballad.
Girls Got Rhythm?
No, that's up tempo. No, they're all up. They're all up tempo. No, there's no lovey songs.
Yeah, I can't think of one. That is interesting.
So, if someone knows of one, let us know, because I don't know. I have never heard.
I think
one.
They're just a true rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably laughed at all the hair bands in the 80s with all their ballads. That went overboard. Remember all the goofy
nonstop.
What they call those? something ballads.
Hey, I still like Pour Some Sugar on Me, though.
That's not a ballad, though.
It's pretty low key for them.
I think it's up tempo.
Poison put out some.
Oh God!
Ballad
them
albums.
Damn, and a bunch of them did all. Yeah. The Warren,
it was just like every. It was just whole albums of it.
Yeah, just power ballads. They were just enough.
All I have memories of that is being at the beach in San Diego in high school and everyone playing their boombox and it's all you heard at the beach. Ballads.
Yeah. But there were some good ones.
Like glam rock.
Yeah, glam rock ballads. It's like, yeah. God. But then you throw on Cinderella, don't know what you got till it's gone. It's like, I'll take you back.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
But then they just kept going, though. Everybody had a damn ballad. White Lion. When the children cry. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
When the children cry. Shut up.
Yeah. It got weird, but see what it was is they all the chicks calling into the radio stations, you know, wanting those songs played over and over, and they loved it, so all the bands were like, hey,
yeah,
this is what drops panties at the concerts.
Yeah.
And that's what did. Tops came off and panties got dropped and
yeah.
So off they went with ballads.
They had that saying back in there that day where, you know, if you were a band, the chicks wanted them and the guys wanted to be like them.
Yeah.
Until they got too much makeup, of course.
And they started getting prettier than the girlfriends.
Woo.
Hey, dude looks like a lady. Right there.
That song's about
that song right there is proving our point.
Yep.
Anyway.
Anywho.
80s were fun. Y'all missed a good time.
Well, if you have any questions or comments, or if you know of an AC/DC ballad, contact us at realrockrealtalk@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
I'm going to have to research that.
I know.
Because I can't think of one.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Well, very cool. This is V-Dubs.
And this is Mike.
And that was Real Rock
and Real Talk.